Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Again, I welcome you, and I'm so excited about this season of praying, fasting and praying. We're not just going hungry to feel good or to feel holy or to think that we're pleasing God. we're going through this season of fast to be able to lay hold on things that the Lord has ordained for us. Remember, it's not the fast that is the most important thing. It's what you do during the fast. It's the praying, it's the studying the word, it's the listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and receiving wisdom and guidance and direction and instruction. There's so much that the Lord will do for us if we make ourselves continually available to Him. I'm very excited about the direction that the Lord has given us. I just want to take some time to encourage us again in the Word of God tonight. I believe that the Lord has a word for someone, for more than someone on the line tonight. It's not just a word. I believe that the Lord has clear instructions, wisdom, direction, and assurance for every one of us that is joining this conference line tonight. If you believe that, would you please say amen? Glory be to God. Just look at one of the first lines of our 2019 confession. It says, whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, we win. I love that. Whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, we win. The victory that overcomes the world resides within me, and the greater one reigns through me. Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. We started studying last week, Wednesday, which is the same theme that we're going to be studying right through the rest of the time of fasting, the rest of the month. As we study on Wednesday, God guarantees your victory. God guarantees your victory. So whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, you will win. You will win. Can you say that with me? I will win. In fact, say it in faith. I have already won. I have overcome the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, you know, the world is definitely going up and down. We see that this 2019 is going to be a very interesting year all over the world. Definitely in our nation, you can see that. But the Lord told us long before we even got into this year, He told us whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, He will be good to us. He said He will. He has a covenant, like one of the lines in our confession that says His covenant with our family is good and secure. So you can rest in it. I would not want to be unsaved right now. I would not want to be without Christ. I would not want to be without the security that God provides for His children right now. The world is going crazy. There's so many things going on in the world, and there's so many things that are still going to go on in the world over the next several months, years, but especially in 2019. And so we need a place of security. We need a place of assurance. And the Lord gives us that. He tells us, no matter what happens, we win. Just look around our nation and look at some of the difficulties. You may not necessarily be directly affected by the government shutdown. I guess 800,000 people out of millions of people might be a drop in the bucket. But really, when you think of the fact that it's just a symptom of a bigger problem, I know that causes a lot of people a lot of consternation, a lot of concern. As we have already been told, we've made history now with this particular shutdown. This is the longest that our nation has ever had. But don't just look in our nation, look around the world, look in Europe, and you're following the Brexit news in the United Kingdom, you know that that is going is going upside down right now. And really nobody knows what's going to happen next. And in systems that are led and controlled by human wisdom, it is subject to corruption. It is subject to a lot of uncertainties. That's why I said earlier I would I would not want to be unsaved right now. I would not want to have the lack of security that someone who does not have God may have in their lives. Because when you think about it, there's a lot of reason to be concerned, to be troubled. You remember Jesus said in John, in John, I think it's John chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Because really, if you look around the world, there's a lot of reason to be troubled. You know, who knows where and who knows what's going to happen next? And yet the Lord says, when it's all said and done, you win. In fact, our victory is not just at the end of it. Our victory is already on, is unfolding. Glory be to God. There might be health issues that somebody is dealing with. There might be financial problems, relational issues, family trouble, career issues. Feel stuck. Feel like your life, your wheels are just spinning and you really don't have any traction going forward. It could be different things that cause you to be perturbed in your heart. But I want to encourage your heart tonight on the authority of the Word of God. Regardless of how hopeless things might look or seem when we lift up our eyes and look in front of us or look around us, I want to assure you that God guarantees your victory. You will win. You have overcome the world. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The Lord put something very strong in my heart last week. I couldn't get to it, and all day today has been ringing so strong. I'm going to read it out to you from my notes in just a minute. But before I go there, you know, the morning devotions, if you've been joining us every morning, those morning devotions are so powerful. They're so powerful. And it's amazing, just the words that the Lord's speaking to us and the power that is in our praying as we come together corporately and pray. You know, there's such faith, there's such assurance. We're not just praying to a God who is absent. We're talking to our Father. And he loves us. He's faithful to his word. And we know he'll fulfill everything that he's spoken concerning us. I've been blessed every morning. And I hope if you haven't been joining us that you can start joining us for those morning devotions. Every one of our ministers, they're doing an excellent job. And this morning, also, just like every other day, has really blessed me. I've just kind of been really, I mean, the reading in today's devotional has actually over the last 1 month has kind of just stayed strong in my spirit. You know, the title for today's devotion was Sure Enough. Sure Enough. Actually, that is very much in line with what we're learning on Wednesdays. Guaranteed, God guarantees your victory, because sure enough, you look at what we learned about this morning and what was in the devotional. Sure enough, God came through for that woman. Sure enough, God answered her prayers and her husband's prayer. Sure enough, God delivered a miracle to their footsteps. And I dare say to you, sure enough, God guarantees it, sure enough, he will fulfill his every word in your life. Whatever your dreams are, whatever your hopes are, there is an expanded version of what we have in the devotional, the 30-day devotional, Planting the Heavens devotion. There's an expanded version of the readout there in the main book, Days of Heaven on Earth. And I just want to read some portion of that before I pick up and try to wrap up what we did last Wednesday and share a few more intricate things with you under that theme, God Guarantees Your Victory. But I want to read some part of the expanded version of what we heard this morning, page 40 of Days of Heaven on Earth. Somewhere there it says, "Beloved, God wants to take care of you and he wants to give you the upper hand over the situations of life. God wants to help you break limits and make you a sign and wonder on the earth. But we must play our part and cooperate with Him. We must prioritize the need in our lives to develop a high level of perception and spiritual sensitivity. The Old Testament story, this is page 41 now, Old Testament story of the wealthy, influential woman of Shunem always intrigues me. And then here we have the scripture reading from 2 Kings 4, verses 8 and 9 in the Amplified. It says, one day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman lived, who insisted on his eating a meal. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. Notice that that woman had perception. She had a heart that could easily receive the wisdom of God, the light that the Lord was trying to put within her spirit. And this is so crucial, even to victories. One of the things I believe God, He would help us learn as we go ahead, because there's always a strategy for winning the war. There's always a strategy for winning every battle that you fight. We can't just fight blindly. We can't just fight like people that are beating the air, like Paul said. We can't just, you know, throw things anywhere, anyhow, hoping that something or the other will stick. No, 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 no. We have to have a strategy. God always has a strategy for winning. He always has a strategy for every battle that He fights. You look in the scriptures, and you see just about every warfare that His people fought, He had a strategy. But you know, the Bible calls Him, one of the translations, I think it's the Message translation, calls Him the Lord of the armies of Israel. He's the Lord of the armies. So he himself is a man of war. He himself, he is a general, he's the commander-in-chief of the angelic host. And you know, there is no army that is what is Saul that doesn't have, no military unit that doesn't have a strategy to win. And sometimes it's not just by strength. Sometimes it's not just by what we have in the physical or in the natural. Sometimes it's not by how much money is available. Sometimes it's not by how many people we have who are encouraging us, who are spurring us on, who are standing around us. Sometimes it's not the things in the natural. It's not the promises that have been made us. A lot of times it's just a word of wisdom from God, just a light in your spirit that tells you, all right, this is what you need to do. And you do that, you win the battle. You can break every barrier. You can shatter into pieces every opposition that rises against you just with the wisdom of God. Just knowing, all right, take that step or take this other step, and the victory will be delivered to you. As opposed to people who are fighting blindly, who are just hoping some way or the other, you know, they'll be able to get to, you know, it's like a student who's studying and trying to, you know, achieve great grades, the highest grades possible. That's not always, I learned that a long time ago in graduate school. It's not always based on who studies the longest, who is able to memorize all the material. Who, no, no. Sometimes there's actually a strategy. And I know of everyone of us online who's ever done any kind of exam or the other, especially when it comes to things that are really voluminous, those of you in career lines where you deal with a lot of voluminous stuff. And it's just impossible to know everything or to memorize everything or to remember everything. Well, there is a strategy that would help you succeed. Same thing in business. It's not everyone that has all the resources at their beck and call that are required for success that actually succeed. A lot of times, people have what they need, but they just don't know. They just don't know how to use it. You know, one of the definitions we give to wisdom in one of our services on Sundays, wisdom, the Bible tells us, is the proper application of knowledge. There's a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to properly apply the knowledge that they have. And so they keep failing. They don't win. God always has a strategy. And I love the story of this woman of Shunem. She wasn't just a rich woman. She was a woman who had great perception. She knew how to receive the wisdom of God and how to receive strategy for winning. Let me keep on reading here from page 41, Days of Heaven on Earth. It says, there was nothing about the man of God who was passing by that showed he was a prophet of God. But this woman of Shunem, she picked up something in her spirit. She was wealthy and she was a woman of great influence. The King James Version calls her a great woman. The Amplified calls her a rich and influential woman. And other translations of the Bible describe her esteem and great reputation in the community. But she was not dull spiritually, nor was she taken over by her material wealth. She had deep spiritual perception and sensitivity that put her in position to receive the blessings of God. I pray that you, I pray that you, I pray that in addition to everything else that you get, that you labor for in life, that you pursue, I pray that you will get the wisdom of God. You will get high levels of spiritual perception and sensitivity. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. We have it right there in the book, from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10 to 17. Still reading about this woman's story. This woman came to her husband and she said, "Let's build a small room for him on the roof and then furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day, Elisha returned to Shunem and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her we appreciate the kind concern that you have shown us. What can we do for you? What can we do? They want to bless her. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." You know, that's an impossible situation right there then. Elisha said, "Call her back again." And then when the woman returned, Elisha said to her, she stood in the doorway, "Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." I like that. I like that. "Next year, at this time, you'll be holding a son in your arms." There is a, it's one of the paragraphs in our confession that goes, "By this time tomorrow." I really love that. I'm sure later on in one of our devotions, we'll come across that. That's from 2 Kings. Just a couple of chapters after this woman's story, 2 Kings, I think it's 7 or so, where this same man of God prophesied that the financial situation in the entire nation of Israel will be changed overnight. He said, "By this time tomorrow." Now, I really like the way our confessions are there in that particular paragraph. It says, "By this time tomorrow, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings for me." Amen. So that means supernaturally, quickly, God can expedite our healing. Amen. It says, "By this time tomorrow, the tender grass of my seed will emerge and grow from the ground up. By this time tomorrow, my harvest will manifest. My miracle will arrive at my doorsteps. By this time tomorrow, new opportunities will show up for me, will be created, and God will make all things new." You know, many times it doesn't take God that long. And I'm sure as we go along, we'll learn some of those things. It doesn't take God that long. This man prophesied to this woman. He says, "By this time next year by this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my Lord," she cried. "Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." You know, that's how we feel sometimes when we hear the promises of God. It's like, really? That's too good to be true. That's too good. How is that ever going to happen? That's too good to be true. Don't mess with me. Don't get my hopes up like that. But no. God has the wherewithal to change our lives overnight. God can change your life overnight. God can do a work in our lives and we don't recognize ourselves in just 3 months. Hallelujah. I actually believe there's a number of us online listening to this teaching tonight. You may not recognize yourself in 3 months. I mean, for good, not for bad. You may not recognize yourself because God can totally, drastically, dramatically change your story. I mean, every part of it in a good way. And then you look back and you say, "Whew, is that really me?" Yeah, that's you. Because God showed up for you. and gave you accelerated miracles and guaranteed victory. The woman said, no, please don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But I like what he says next. He said, but sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. I love it. Sure enough. Doesn't that sound to you like guaranteed? Yes, sir. But sure enough. So it's no probability in that one. It's no guesswork. Maybe not. No. But sure enough. Hallelujah. As sure as the Lord lives. Amen. Let me read this off and close this out and move on to our teaching tonight. I'm running short of time here, but this is good. I believe this is a Rhema word, so that's why I'm harping on it. Bless me so much this morning, and all day I've been going sure enough. Everywhere I go, I've been going sure enough. Hallelujah. That's what you should do. I hope you can do that a little bit more tonight. But sure enough, I'll prosper. But sure enough, I will live and I will not die. Sure enough, my dreams will be fulfilled. Sure enough, my finances will be enlarged. Sure enough, my business will prosper. Sure enough, I'll succeed and get into a good college. Sure enough, God will give me that promotion I've been looking for. Sure enough, I will become pregnant. Sure enough, I will find a good godly spouse. Sure enough, my body will be healed. Sure enough. I don't know what your sure enough is, but you ought to be going everywhere. I say, yeah, sure enough. Because that's right out of the word of God. Amen. Amen. The one thing that this woman and her husband lacked was released to them because she followed her spirit sense and invited the man of God into their home. I love the rendition of the last verse of the above passage of scripture. It says, but sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. Don't you like that? Sure enough. I feel like prophesying to you that sure enough, the Lord will do some amazing things in your life. Sure enough, you will be pregnant. Sure enough, you will find a godly man who loves you, and you will make a fitting husband. Sure enough, your wife will become a virtuous, loving, gentle woman. Sure enough, your business will take flight. Sure enough, your body will be healed. Sure enough, your finances will be multiplied. Sure enough, your marriage will be restored. Sure enough, your ministry will grow in leaps and bounds. Sure enough, your career will prosper. Sure enough, you will live and not die. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's sure enough. That sounds to me like God guarantees your victory. God guarantees your victory. And I'm reminding you again tonight. This might be a short exhortation just to put some more fire under your wood. I know many of you are burning. You can't go through a time of fasting and praying and not get on fire for the Lord. I mean, things just keep popping up all around you. I mean, it's exciting. And you can be confronted with a lot of difficulties and challenges. And in your mind, in your natural mind, you might not even know how do you get to solve all of these problems. You might have no idea, no clue whatsoever. But the fire of the Holy Spirit can be burning right beneath you, and you just find yourself shaking every difficulty and shaking every opposition, every obstacle, shaking every attack of the enemy and shaking it into that fire. Glory to God. And then I trust God that right through the rest of this fast, that's what continues to happen to us. Listen to what the Lord put in my heart last week. I couldn't read this, but I want to read it out to you tonight because I couldn't get to it last week. The Lord told me to tell you that there are various things that are of the world that have the capacity to harm, to kill, and to destroy ordinary people. But because you are not ordinary, because you are of God and you know it, you will shake those same things into the fire, and you will feel no harm or damage. Glory to God. I love it. He told me to tell you that there are various things that are of the world that have the capacity to harm, to kill, to destroy ordinary people. But because you are no ordinary person, you are of God and you know it, you will shake those same things into the fire and you will feel no harm or damage. Amen. Now, go right back with me to our scripture from last week, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I'm not doing much of a recap because I don't have too much time. Just want to share just the few things that are on my heart here, my spirit here. First John chapter 4, verse 4. Remember, what we're learning is God guarantees your victory. And we said the first part of that is you have to know who you are of. It's important that you know who you are of. Victory in life does not begin with fasting and praying or church attendance or things like that, although all those things are helpful. But victory in life begins from digging into the Word of God with a dogged determination to discover and realize who you are in Christ Jesus. So important. So important. Victory in life begins really from knowing who you are in Christ, knowing who you are, that you are of God. Amen. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, in the King James Version, he says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Hallelujah. You are of God. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than is in the world. We read a number of translations last week. Some of them translated, "You are of God." They translated it as, "You belong to God." Some of them translated it as, "You are from God." Some of them translated it as, "God is inside you." Actually, in the Amplified, it says, "Little children, you are of God, you belong to him, and you have already defeated and overcome them, because he who lives in you is greater, is mightier than he who is in the world." So we learned last week, you have to know who you are of. You are of God. You have to know who you belong to. You belong to God. You have to know who you are from. You are from God. You have to know who is inside you. God is inside you. And God is the greater one. Because God is the greater one, and God lives inside you. And God is always victorious and cannot fail. Then you will be victorious. That means you have already, like the Amplified says here, you have already overcome the world. You must remind yourself of this all the time. You are not of the world. You are not. Say that. Say, "I'm not of the world." Tell yourself, put your first name, Kayode, "You are not of the world." Well, why is that important? Because you have to remind yourself, you are not the one that is defeated. You are the one that is winning. You are not the one. Some of the things that I said earlier on, at the top of this of our service tonight, of our teaching, and I reminded you some of the things you already know about things going on in our nation, things going on around the world, maybe things going on in your own, wherever you are, your city or your own family, your own personal individual life. Well, let me tell you this: you have to remind yourself, I'm not of the world. Yes, I know. There's all these crazy things going on around the world, but I am not of the world. I am of God. I am of God. I belong to God. I'm from God. And God, the greater one, lives inside of me. Amen. The seed of God is inside you. You were produced by the sperm of God, and therefore you have God's DNA. So no matter how you feel about life or whatever you are dealing with in your life right now, you have already won. What you need to do is just accept and agree and believe that you are of God, and that truth will become a settled fact in your life. No matter how you're feeling, just agree, accept, believe you are of God. And if you are of God, that truth will become a settled fact in your life. You are an overcomer. We studied the different meanings for the word overcome last week. I'm not going to go over it. The teaching is right there. It's recorded. So if you missed it, you can go back then and pull it up from our podcast or from our website. It's powerful. I've heard it myself. But you are an overcomer. That means you dominate. You are not the one who's dominated. You are not the one who's conquered and defeated. In whatever you're doing in life, whatever your aspirations are, you are the one who's winning. You are the one. I don't care how much noise the devil is making. I don't care what circumstances, the storms of life all around you might be saying. All of that is just noise. They are subject to change. You are the winner. You are the more than conqueror. You are the overcomer. That truth must become a settled fact in your life. Now, last week I asked you a question, not to be offensive or anything, but it was very important to underscore this point. I asked you, who is your biological father? And I remember I said, you know, most of us probably know our biological father. Most of us, many of us probably still have our biological fathers alive. But some of us, there might be a few of us who don't know our biological father, not by any fault of ours, circumstances or whatever. And there might be some of us whose biological fathers are no longer on the planet. All well and good, but it doesn't change this fact. Listen to this. Whoever your biological father is, you have something from that man that identifies you with him. Good or bad, you carry something he carries. Good or bad, you exhibit something he exhibits. Good or bad, some things in your life mirror some things in his life. Now, as a child of God, you have God's DNA. Your spiritual birth identifies you with God's nature. We know that. We know that. Your spiritual birth identifies you with God's nature. So even though all of us have a natural root from natural sperm produced us in the natural, in the same way, God's supernatural sperm, which is the word of God, God's supernatural sperm produced us. And because we are produced by God's supernatural sperm, we have the divine nature of God. We learned that yesterday. I'm not going to go over that too much. Now, remember this. We have God's supernatural sperm. I want to show you a couple of scriptures here. This will really put a little bit of light on this. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. The book of Luke and chapter 1, verse 35. Just like we were born by a natural parent, a father, a mother came together, and by that natural sperm, we came into existence in the natural. Well, in the same way, when we became born again, this is how we became born of God. It's why we say, well, this is why the Bible says, you are of God, you are from God. We are now from God, regardless of what our natural roots are. We are from God. We are of God. We belong to God. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Look at what the angel said to Mary. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Look at that. So this is like a prototype of the born again person. This is the prototype of the process of the new birth. Is that the Holy Spirit comes on a natural being, and by virtue of the activity of the divine sperm of God, a new being is created who is called the Son of God. That's what you see in that scripture. A new being. Mary was a natural woman, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The power of God overshadowed her. And by the activity of the divine sperm of God, she brought forth a son that was called the Son of God. You want to see how that directly relates to you and to me? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and let me read that to you from the Amplified in verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Look at what it says in the Amplified. It says, you have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, a mortal seed, or a mortal sperm, but from a sperm that is immortal by the ever-living word of God. Let me read this to you again. This is so powerful. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, a mortal seed, a mortal sperm, but you have been born again by an immortal seed, an immortal sperm, by the ever-living and everlasting word of God. This is how we were conceived in the spirit. This is how we became born. That's why it's called born again, because we were born the first time naturally. That's how we were born the first time we're naturally. When we were born again, this is how it happened. the Holy Spirit, divine sperm, and something came out that was different from the natural root that existed before. Now, this is very important. From the moment you became born again, you were endowed with the divine nature of God. That means you carry God's DNA. Now, remember this. God, there is no bad and there is no failure in God. Even though from our natural origin, there was good and bad. Every human being has good and bad in them. Every human being. So every one of us were born with some good stuff, some bad stuff, some things. And in some lives, the good stuff sometimes are more and overwhelm the bad stuff. In many lives, the bad stuff is so overpowering over the good stuff that you don't even know there is good stuff there. But regardless, every single one of us, if you were born a natural human being, we all have bad stuff and we all have good stuff. But guess what? When we became born again by the divine sperm of God, when we received the DNA of God, that moment marked the beginning of the goodness and the good nature of God being transfused into our lives. So no matter how much bad stuff we came into Christ with, if you keep walking with the Holy Spirit, if you keep walking with God, the goodness of God, the good nature of God will eventually overpower all the negativity that may have come from our natural birth or our natural upbringing. This is exactly how it happens. As a matter of fact, you can grow in your relationship with God. You can grow over a period of time until you almost become, none of us will on this earth. You remember the scripture I read to you last week when we read about the body, the last thing that's going to happen is we're going to give up this mortal body. Our bodies are mortal, and our spirits have been made immortal when we became born again, but our bodies remain mortal for as long as we're living in this physical world. But the Bible tells us that at the rapture or at the very end, we are going to give up these mortal bodies, and mortality is going to take on immortality. And it is at that point that the Bible says God declares victory has been completely won. Hallelujah. Victory has been completely won. So be sure that as you drag that mortal body, as you and I drag our mortal bodies through this earth, that it is still susceptible, is vulnerable to the world, is vulnerable to sin. And our job is to stand on the word of God and to keep receiving the nature of God so that there is that overwhelming power of the nature of God that subdues the negativity in our natural bodies. But don't you ever imagine that you gave it all up. No. Until we actually give up our mortal body and receive this glorified body, that's when our victory is completely complete. But keep in mind, even now your victory is unfolding. So God is all good. Oh boy, I got to read this other scripture to you. I think this is so powerful. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I want you to look at this. Glory to God. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Look at what it says. I like this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I love that. So God is all good. There is no bad in God, and there is no failure in God. God is all good, and God is all victory. And because God is all good, and God is all victory, and because you and I have the DNA of God by virtue of our supernatural birth, over time, there is a divinization. Our son, Edie, told me the right word in the Webster's dictionary, and I think I've forgotten again. I've gone back to the word I created last week. I gave you this word that I don't think you find in there, but he found a word that actually explains what I was trying to minister. And he told me after the service, unfortunately, I didn't write it down. You know, so but it's the divine divinization. I think maybe you call it divine, the divinization or something he said it was. Well, whatever it is, you understand what the thought is, right? That the thought is that over time, as you continue to walk with God, as you continue to walk in the Word, and the nature of God that is already within you comes more and more on the surface. You are rubbed off more and more by the Holy Spirit. And after a while, you exhibit more of the divine nature of God than you exhibit the natural nature that you were born with in the flesh. Glory to God. Glory. Now, one of those things is victory, because victory is the divine nature of God. Like we read earlier, God has never lost a fight. God has never lost a battle. God is all victory and is all good. And so the more you and I get closer to the Lord, the more he rubs off his nature on us through his word, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the more we become like him. Day after day, if we walk with him, the more we become like him. And through that process, the more and more our victory unfolds. Let's go back here to James chapter 1, 17. It says in 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, I want you to look at the next verse. It says, of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. These two verses are extremely powerful, right? They're saying exactly the same thing that I've been saying in so many words. I want to read these two verses out to you from two translations that I thought kind of presented is the best. The NLT translation, that's the New Living Translation, and the ERV, easy to read translation. So now, listen to the NLT first. Actually, you know what? Before reading the NLT, let's read the Amplified. The Amplified says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of light that gives light in the shining, with whom there is no variation or changing or shadow that can be cast by his turning. Now, so many words. But what he's saying here is God is never going to change. And everything that comes from God is good. Don't you like that? At the top of our teaching, we talked about how everything's going to change. Life changes. The world is going up and down. But you know what? God is never going to change, ever. God is always going to be good. God is always going to be victorious. That is never going to change. That is never going to change. That's why you and I ought to secure our lives on him. Glory to God. I hope you are not going to sleep on me tonight. I hope you are fired up by these revelations that we're discussing together as I am. Say something.
Amen.
Say something. Stir yourself up in the name of Jesus. Say, I am born of God.
I am born of God.
So I am from God.
I am from God.
I belong to God.
I belong to God.
God is inside me.
God is inside me.
I have the DNA of God.
I have the DNA of God.
I am becoming more and more like God.
I am becoming more and more like God.
Therefore,
my victory
is sure and unfolding in every area of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Tino, for helping us there. Unmute your phone. I'm sure everybody else was saying it. So I have 10 more minutes. Let's try to capture as much as we can. This is so powerful. Now, go right there. I want to read to you in the New Living Translation and the Easy to Read Version, both verses 17 and verse 18 of James chapter 1. This is so powerful. I want you to listen to this. This is the NLT. The NLT says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Listen now. He never changes. And he never casts a shifting shadow. Let me read that again. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the light in the heavens. He never changes and he never casts a shifting shadow. Now, I want you to listen to verse 18, same NLT. It says, God chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. God chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Glory to God. Now, because of time, I'm going to skip the easy-to-read version. You go look at that, your assignment tonight. You go dig up what James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 says in the easy-to-read version and read it to yourself over and over. It's the same thought here. You are born of God. God never changes. And the way you were born of God was through his word. And because God will never change, you have become a precious possession and one of the things that God is going to use to display his nature to the world. Part of the nature of God is victory. God never loses. He's never lost a fight. Hallelujah. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Boy, look at this time going, huh? All right, now listen to this. Jesus, this is very powerful. Jesus is the closest example to a human being who was a splitting image of God because he had God's DNA. I want to say that to you again. I've just talked to you about this divinization, whatever that word is, whichever proper pronunciation of that word. This process of us becoming more like God, process of us manifesting more of the divine nature of God and losing our natural negativities, which part of that is failure, part of that is losing, part of that is bad stuff. But losing part of that, but gaining more and more of the victory of God in our lives, gaining more and more of the nature of God in our lives, that's a process that happens as we walk with the Holy Spirit and cooperate with him over time. The closest example to someone who actually completed that process as a human being on this earth, living in this physical flesh, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became a splitting image of God over time by his walk with God. He had the DNA of God, and he demonstrated that in every area of his life. Now, Jesus is our example. That means everything that happened with Jesus can happen with us. Because he is the Son of God, like we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. But the same way he was born of God is the same way we are born of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And everything that Jesus accomplished in his physical, natural life, we can accomplish by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't tell me, no, Jesus had all these advantages. Oh, man, you just don't know. Jesus was just like he was God living in human flesh. He didn't have the problems you and I had. He didn't deal with difficulties that you and I deal with. Seriously? Are you serious about that? Was Jesus hungry? Yes. Did he feel like sleeping? Yes. All those are, did Jesus have to deal with problems? Yes. Did Jesus have some relational challenges? Yes. Did he have bills that at some point he needed God to help him pay? Yes. Did Jesus deal with the predisposition of the human nature? Yes. The Bible tells us in Hebrews he was tempted in every way that we are. So Jesus is the closest example. And don't buy into that lie that sometimes in different parts of the body of Christ, people say, well, Jesus was just God. No, Jesus was like man. Yes, he was divinity, but he was humanity. He was human and he displayed the nature of divinity because of who he was inside and because of what he did in his cooperation with the Holy Spirit. All right, this is our last scripture. I want you to go to John chapter 16. And I'm just going to underscore this now. This is, I thought I was going to get farther than this tonight, but you know, like it always goes. I think I'm going to get there and then I don't. But the Lord is helping us. Praise God. I'm sure you're blessed tonight. I'm sure you're blessed tonight. This is my last scripture. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I want us to read from verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16. I'm just going to read that. John chapter 16, verse 33. I'm going to read that from the... let's read that from the King James first, and then I'll read that from the Amplified. Once I'm done with that, then I think I'm good to close tonight. I'm not done with, I didn't get as far as I wanted us to. I wanted to show you that quote I gave you at the beginning, so I'm going to have to bring that back by the grace of God next week and read that out to you again, because I've got to show you this powerful story, this very extremely important story in the book of Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to show that to you next week. God would help me get there next week. All right. John chapter 16. And verse 33, look at what it says. It says, these things are spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Glory be to God. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now remember, that's where we started from. He that is born of God overcomes the world. Why? Because he has the seed of him, of God in him. The greater one lives in you. Therefore, you have overcome the world. Where Jesus, who is our ultimate example, is telling us he overcame the world. He overcame the world. Now, I want you to see listen to what the Amplified says in verse 33. He said, I've told you this thing, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration. Glory to God. All those things are in the world. We sing them right now. It says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. I like this now. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. I need you to, just as I close here, I want you to focus on the fact that in the Gospel of John, this is the only Gospel where this is portrayed that way. In the other Gospels, we see a slightly different sequence. But in the Gospel according to John, would you know... my dear friends, brothers and sisters online tonight, would you know this was the last major teaching that Jesus did before he went to the cross? Right here. This John 16, 33 was, according to the rendition of the Gospel of John, now it's different in the other Gospels, the other synoptic Gospels, but in John, this is the sequence that we see is that this is the last teaching that Jesus gave the disciples before he went to the cross. Something tells me everything Jesus said through his teaching, through his meetings with his disciples and all of that was extremely important. But the last things he said were probably some of the most important things he said to them. Do you know that right after he said this in 1633, right after he said this, he broke out into prayer and started praying for the disciples. I mean, what does that tell you? It tells you the gravity of what he said. What did he say? He says, he has overcome the world. Even though there's a lot of trouble and distress, there's going to be trouble and pain and challenges and difficulties. The world is going to go up and down. There's going to be all sorts of things going on in the world. He says, but be of good cheer, rejoice, be happy, be confident, be undaunted. He says, because he has overcome the world and he has transferred that victory to you and to me. so that exactly what he did, we can do also by following the pattern of his own example. As I close tonight, I remind you, God guarantees your victory. You are of God. You belong to God. You are from God. God is inside you. Therefore, whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when this is all over, you win. And the victory that overcomes the world lives inside you. I hope you receive that tonight.